Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hola!
Oh god. Hello!
Today we're going to be playing Alhambra, designed by Dirk Henn of Shogun and Wallenstein. And the artist is Jörg Asselborn of Wallenstein, Joe Hartwig of Trajan, Patricia Limburger, Christoph Tisch of Dominion Intrigue, Dominion, Wallenstein, Carcassonne. And it is published in 2003 by Queen Games. And it was the winner of the 2003 Spiel des Jahres. The description is, the best master builders in the whole of Europe and Arabia want to demonstrate their skill, employ the most suitable teams of builders, and make sure that you always have the right currency, because no matter whether they are stonemasons from the north or horticulturists from the south, they all want a proper wage and insist on their native currency. With their help, towers can be constructed, gardens laid out, pavilions and arcades erected, and seraglio chambers built. Compete against your opponents to build the Alhambra.
The whole, like, insist on their native currency just reminds me of the scene from The Phantom Menace. Be like, Republic credits are no good out here.
Exactly what came to my mind. The mechanics are card drafting, hand management, set collection, and tile placement. The box art is looks like a painting of the Alhambra, kind of looking through an archway. Kind of neat.
Kind of like a cartoony painting, though.
Yeah, this is like
a watercolor, if you will.
when I was looking up Alhambra, because I had heard of the game, but I had never heard of the actual place. The picture that's painted on the box, this is like the famous picture that's all over the place. Like if you look at Wikipedia.
Right. Except that, anyway.
It's a view from a certain mountain.
I'll get into it.
Yeah, so and it's kind of got a fiery sky background. That's kind of interesting. Based on all this, would you pull it off a shelf?
I'm going to go yes, first of all, just because I do know the history of Alhambra. It is a very fantastically interesting place. Building, architecture, history, I'm there.
I think in 2003, before it was the Spiel des Jahres winner, I'm not sure I would, because the cover art is a little boring. And like I said, I had never heard of Alhambra before I looked it up. But I think now I'm interested because it is a Spiel des Jahres winner. And it's kind of like, you know, the Oscars have the best picture and you're always like, I want to watch this. And then I feel like most of the time the best picture is kind of garbage and it's not something that appeals to me. So the Spiel des Jahres winners, we've had some like hits and some losers when we've played Spiel winners. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think before it was, I don't think I would. But I think now I would, just because I have heard of it and it was a Spiel winner and I would like to continue playing Spiel winners just to see what they're like.
I actually think the art's solid probably for the era of game it was. I think it'd be eye jumping on a shelf, especially if during 2003. This was on Will Wheaton's tabletop at some point, and I think that's why I remember it. And so I think I would play it just for that reason, because it seemed fun.
I actually watched it today to learn the rules to make sure that I had them down. He played with Ashley Johnson, Dodger, I forget her last name, and then another friend that he had.
So I don't know. It seems like an interesting concept. I always like anything castle building. So, you know, if it kind of falls into that, that's good.
So how do you think we're going to play it?
Based on the stuff, we're going to have various builders, your stonemasons and your horticulturalists. We're going to apparently have multiple types of currency to pay them.
So I'm curious with the card drafting, and Dominion, how is the card drafting? Is it that the cards then that you're drafting and set collections are the different types of currencies? I mean, this is definitely different than Mad King, but you do have tile placement as well. So maybe a little bit of Mad King.
Yeah, I think it'll be like setting up like rooms and things that probably have points on them or something, like sets of rooms. I don't know that it's actually card drafting. I think it's going to be tile drafting. I don't know what the draft will be. I'm assuming in 2003, it'll be a basic draft of here's five options, pick one or something. Hand management. I don't know. Maybe there could also be cards that are like based on the build or what tiles you can pick or there'll be tiles and cards that relate to tiles. I don't know. I don't really know how the builders and the currency come in, other than like you're going to have to pay to build rooms or where you get the currency, because nothing really earns money.
Yeah, how do you get the currency? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going almost Mad King, and maybe when you complete like a room in a certain fashion, you get like...
get income from it?
Yeah, you get income from it.
But unlike Mad King, where you want to build something ridiculous, this one we're going to want to build something reasonable. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Well, I don't want to play anymore.
One of the things I'm going to talk about is some of the mathematics and engineering that went into the actual construct. So
let's get into the mathematics then.
When we talk about the Dark Ages, one of the things in my history classes we talk about is we actually do talk about Al-Andalus, or Islamic Spain. And so, Islamic caliphs ruled in Spain for like over 700 years, right? And so Alhambra is actually, it was started in the 14th century by one of the caliphs as, the Islamic caliphate in Spain was contracting and Christian kingdoms, were growing. So in kind of Spanish Catholic viewpoints, they call this as the Reconquista, which was pretty horrific when it comes to how then, certain groups, were treated then during that whole period. And then Granada, where Alhambra is, famously so, fell in 1492, which is the same exact time, of course, that, Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue. But the building itself, which is why I was commenting on the coloring in the cartoon, is famous for its red stone that it was built with. And it was one of the great part of the Islamic architecture that the Christian kings and monarchs just could not tear down because it was just so absolutely fantastic. And it is super interesting to think about, actually, again, the engineering and mathematics behind it, because Islamic architecture throughout this medieval period was pretty phenomenal. And all across the Islamic world and the Mediterranean, a lot of it takes these mathematics that had been from India and ancient Greece and uses it in its buildings and especially in some of its mosques because of trying to orient prayers towards Mecca. But the interesting part of Alhambra is also that it takes Pythagoras's great golden ratio, is this, I'm not a math person, but taking certain ratios of all of these different.
So not the theorem, a squared plus b squared equals c squared.
Again, maybe, I don't know.
Sakatoa. Angles?
Yes, but not just angles, the curves that go with them and they build out upon each other. That's how the golden ratio, right?
It looks like a snail type shell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fibonacci sequence.
Fibonacci sequence.
And so many of the arches that you can see are built along this. So it's built on this precipice that is with a very limited space. And so the way the mathematics and engineering then use these ancient Greek techniques, and seriously, the gardens, the spaces within it, everything is built so that to kind of how the Parthenon in Athens, was built. The columns are bowed out so that your optics see a straight line. Many of the mathematics employed in this are designed to see certain views and vistas within the interior, including different uses of screens and silks. And I am super excited because, again, mathematically, engineering wise, architectural wise, this place is precise and phenomenal. So I don't know what I'm expecting out of the mechanics, but as an architectural piece, it has fascinated people since its construction. So, how are we going to play it?
Well, that's a great question, BP.
Is it?
I think so.
Oh, good.
Okay, so players perform actions over a series of turns that make up a round. The game itself consists of three rounds. The first two rounds have variable endings. It's kind of like Pandemic, where you put in the epidemic cards into different portions of the deck. So you're not quite sure when it'll pop up, but or there's Copenhagen. General areas. Or sure.
I remember that.
And then players will score at each of those rounds, and we're going to play until the tile stack is exhausted, and then we will score one more time at the end of the game. And the player with the most points is the winner.
Makes sense.
Money in the game is in denominations of 1 to 9 over 4 different currencies, and it doesn't really tell us what the currencies are in the game. It's just 4 different colors. And at the beginning of each of the game, each player is going to be dealt cards until the total reaches at least 20, regardless of the currency. So players will have anywhere between 20 and 28 money. And the player with the fewest cards is going to be the starting player. And then the money cards are then placed into 5 piles. The scoring cards are placed into piles 2 and 4. And then they are all added together. And now the game can begin. So on a player's turn, they must do the following. Sorry, they must do one of the following. They can take money. Oh. So there will be 4 face up.
Take it.
Yeah, you just take it. That's how it works in life.
Right.
There will be 4 face up money cards, and you can either take 1 card of any value, or you can take up to, you can take more than 1 card as long as their collective value doesn't go above 5. You can buy and position a building tile. So you can purchase a building tile from those that are face up. The tile itself will have a number on it, and that's how much the tile costs. And then depending on where it is on the market board, that will dictate what currency is required. You can't make change. So obviously you have to give cards.
I just said that and you were like, sure.
What you want to do is you want to pay exact change, because if you pay exactly, you get to play again, basically.
Okay.
So if the tile costs 5 and you have to pay 5 or more, if it's exact, you get to go again, essentially. Mm. You take the tile and then you can move on. So if you pay the exact, you can buy another tile if you want, or you can take money. So in theory, you could end up buying all 4 tiles, because if you were able to pay exact for all 4 tiles, you would get to do all 4.
So we're buying the rooms, not necessarily the builders.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, we don't buy people.
I mean, pay people, sure.
Yeah, and then once you've completed all the turns that you've earned, that's when you will put buildings onto your player board to build out your Alhambra.
Okay.
The rules for placement are all the buildings have to be the same orientation. So you can't like turn the tiles so that one building is facing a different direction. Like all the tops of the buildings have to be going in the same direction.
Okay.
And then they have to match a side. So the sides will either be clear or they'll have a wall. So non-walled sides match up against walled sides, or non-walled sides and walls against walls. And then finally, they have to be orthogonally adjacent to another tile, so you can't place it diagonally. And if it would create a hole in your Alhambra, you can't place it. So you can't have holes in your Alhambra. And then the last thing is if you can't reach the tile by foot, meaning you would have to cross a wall to get to it,
I mean,
you can't place it there.
You're right. We're not vision.
Yep. And then your last option is you can redesign your Alhambra. And there's 3 ways to redesign. So you can, And then the last thing you can do with the tile you purchase is you can put it in your reserve. And you can have as many tiles as you want in your reserve. So your third option, instead of taking money or buying, is you can redesign your Alhambra. And there's 3 ways. So you can take a building from your reserve and add it to your Alhambra. You can remove a building from the board and put it in your reserve, or you can exchange a building on your board with one in your reserve. And the only thing that you can't remove is your starting tile. So your starting tile always stays there. Once a player has taken all their actions, then replace any tiles. Once they've done all their actions, they place their tiles and then play moves to the next player. When a scoring card comes out, points are scored before the next player takes their turn. So players will get points for having the most of a specific building type, meaning the color of the building, in the first round. In the second round, players will get points for having the most and then points for the second most. And in the third round, it'll be first, second, and third points. And then also at the end of each round, you will get 1 point for all wall segments on the outer portion of your Alhambra for the longest connected wall. The game ends when there are not enough building tiles to replenish the market to 4, and the remaining buildings are given to the players with the most money of the current matching type. If there is a tie, the tile is left on the board. Those tiles are added to the board with the same placement rules as before. Points are then awarded for having the first, second, and third most of each building color. Players then score their wall points just like the first two rounds. And then finally, the player with the most points is the winner. There's also not a single tiebreaker listed. So if there's a tie, we just share the victory. And those are all the rules.
Well, let's build.
We just finished a game of Alhambra. To recap, Kiwi had 110
ducats.
BP had 122
florins,
as I kind of know what they're called. And I won with 153 dinar. So strategy, I think my initial strategy was the long Hambra. So yeah. I just went with a very long place that had a lot of walls on the same side. And then in the later game, the beginning game, I was just buying whatever. And the later game, I was like, well, BP has a lot of gardens, so I'm not going to go for gardens. And just trying to keep an eye on what everybody was doing and making sure I kept the lead in a couple of them. So you guys, strategy?
Yeah, I tried to build like a big compound almost. And I was just trying to buy
square.
The square Hambra. I wasn't worried so much about the number of buildings. Like, I don't even think I paid attention to it. I bought solely off of walls and tried to build a nice walled in Alhambra, which I think I got.
Yeah, yours looks lovely.
There's only two entrances into my Alhambra.
You're very fortified.
Yeah, I'm very fortified. It seems very castle-y to me.
Yeah. BP, tell us about your park.
Yeah. So park Hambra?
Yeah, park Hambra.
My park Hambra has very few sleeping spots you don't want to come visit and just for the day. I don't know. I was going for the tower strategy to begin with because I thought they looked cool and medievalist idea of towers. But gardens just popped up and they had at least the ones that did had all these open spots. So I kind of wanted to go as opposed to walls. I wanted the open spaces that I could expand upon. Obviously it wasn't a winning strategy, but I didn't build a compound that kept people out.
She had the hanging gardens of Bahambra.
Oh, God, that was awful.
There we go.
Awful.
Yep.
Awful.
What do you think of the theme?
I thought it was building for sure. I really did feel I was trying to build some sort of complex. I really did feel I went into this thinking about it along the lines of Mad King. And I feel like you still came out with the crazy complexes that you got to do with Mad King. And so I liked that aspect of it.
Yeah, I definitely felt like I was building a compound and adding things in. I thought it was a little weird that it was build your Alhambra.
Right.
And it's that's kind of a weird way to phrase it. So I thought that bit was weird, but I did feel like I was trying to build something.
And it does. I mean, Alhambra, obviously, especially with the art, it ties in, but it could really be building a town. It could be building pretty much anything that is sort of a complex in nature.
But you felt like you were still building.
Yeah, you definitely feel like you're building something, a grouping of buildings or structures. I don't know that it was pleasant to build. And we had our shapes and our walls and things. I don't know that it's as strong as in Teng Garden, where we feel like we were building the garden. But because it's a little more kind of random than that.
And it's 2003 versus 2019.
Exactly. And I think that's what I was going to say, is you can kind of see how these tile laying games have kind of progressed. But I thought it did all right. It was, a building theme. What did you think of the art or table presence, BP?
One of the reasons I wanted the towers is one, medieval, they looked cool. And then the gardens after that. And I think I did make some oohs and ahs. They were cartoonish, you know, repetitive, but still, I mean, cool. Like to the point where I wanted gardens because they were nice green spaces. I wanted towers because they looked cool. Mezzanines looked cool too. I mean, I wasn't so into chambers, apparently. They weren't as cool. Like, so I feel like the art did help at least me, right? Someone who's attracted to the visual, and that's where I went.
Kiwi?
I think graphically, everything is easy to pick out. Like, yeah. You know exactly what each thing was. You didn't really need to know that it was a manor. It was all just red. Mm-hmm. I feel like the art is a little bit dated. Like, it definitely feels like 2003. I think my one wish is, like, all of the buildings were worth different. I wish, like, the 3 garden was tiny. And the 11 garden was like very big, like big elaborate. And luscious and very
had
elaborate.
Like all these crazy plants in it.
Like, does it do anything? Absolutely not, because the number is just how much it costs. But it would be cool to like make it associated with something.
It would have added
a garden.
I want a garden that's worth 12.
Birds
not
of paradise and palm trees and yeah.
So that I think that's my one wish for the art. But I realize from a production standpoint, I understand why everything is the same because it's cheaper.
I really like the centerboard. I like the sort of overhead castle shot to kind of lay out the cards and stuff. It's probably unnecessary. May have added to cost when it maybe didn't provide a lot, but it does look nice. The one thing I don't like about the art, though, is the walls, like the little just black lines on it. And at first I was like, is there something on this card? And I was like, oh, no, I guess that must be the wall. Like, I feel like they could have made it look more like a wall.
Yeah, it is a little boring compared to the rest of it.
It seems a little, I guess it stands out, so that's good. But it just sort of, like, threw me off on the first one. I was like, what is this, like, black line on it? It's like, oh, that's, I guess it's the wall. Mechanics, Kiwi?
Nothing super different. A little bit of card drafting. It reminded me of Ticket to Ride. You know, you can take this many cards from here. I do wish that there was a way to like either move stuff around on the tile portion or because I think BP, you asked that question at the beginning, like, hey, do these tiles shift around at all to like make things different? Because there were a couple turns where it was like, man, somebody really needs to buy something so that we can like shift these tiles around and get it moving. Sorry. And at one point I did look up like, hey, what happens if we run out of the money deck before the tiles are all bought up? And you shuffle up the discard pile. BPM mechanics?
I mean, I feel like we were definitely card drafting. We were wrong in thinking about card drafting, like the placement tiles and things like that.
You did say money to start with, so you actually were right to begin.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, we were drafting the money, which I felt like I was doing and definitely trying to keep... you wanted diversity in your hand so that depending on what came up, like tile placement wise, like you had the money to be able to purchase.
Yeah. I think most interesting mechanically was the different money types and then that trying to get exact so you could take extra turns. I thought that was the most interesting part mechanically. I'm not sure it really worked thematically. Like, is there not a currency exchange in this place? So that was kind of weird thematically, but I did think it was interesting and like, okay, you got 4 different currencies. You're trying to get exact values to buy so you can trigger more actions. So I thought that was the most interesting part that I don't know that we played anything exactly like that before. The tile placement was a tile placement. So, but I enjoyed doing it, but you know, nothing fancy there.
There's not a person inside a little glass box that sells it. Does currency exchange for you like at the airport and also sells you SIM cards for your cell phone.
Yeah. I guess that didn't exist back then. Yeah. They didn't just go to their airport. All right. Rules, learning the game, BP.
I didn't pay attention to the rules in the beginning and it seemed pretty easy to pick up.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, 1 or 2 rounds and we were down. So, I mean, not even rounds, but yeah, I guess rounds. Yeah. 'Cause then you had various rounds in the phases. I forget what the terminology is.
They didn't
is.
Really break it up like that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was super easy to pick up. I'd say this would be a good like entry level tile placement if it weren't for Carcassonne. So,
yeah, I don't think Kiwi had to check the book at all.
Yeah, the only things I was checking the books for were just to remind myself of the rules. It wasn't to like go, it was, you know, like, oh, we have a question. It was, I just need to remember or read off directly. Like, I think Eric had the question, like, how do I do a redesign? So then I just said, like, all right, here's the three things you can do in a redesign. And it does take one of your actions. The good examples in the rule book, the rule book's laid out well. It's super short. I think this is one of those games where like, there's not a whole lot of rules and stuff to it. But once you start playing, like, I think designing your Alhambra and trying to get the walls and all that kind of stuff, that's where the complexity comes in.
Player interaction. I mean, there's the potential for hate drafting, like, and you can watch people's boards. Like a couple times I was like, the mezzanines, you guys were inadvertently doing it to me, but I was trying to make sure Kiwi didn't get it to beat me on the mezzanine count. So there were a couple times where I was just grabbing stuff to make sure I kept the highest value, but.
Yeah, I feel like it was indirect to minimal. Yeah, like I never actually really looked at your boards until scoring, so.
Yeah, which is probably why I won, because I think that's all I had to do to really win was just go, oh. Well, because like even when we were just looking for the fun of it, like BP has got a lot of gardens. And I was like, well, let me stop getting gardens because I'm not going to win that. Or really mezzanines, I think, was the only one that I was like, oh, I should try to make sure I get those when they come out, or chambers. So, I mean, not really direct, but just keeping an eye on the board's state, I guess.
And it was something we talked about in Tang Garden, too, where we liked the aspect of you're not building out your own personal board. You were building out a board for everybody, but I don't know how it would be a much different scoring system if you were doing the same thing, you know, kind of like Carcassonne, like everybody's working on the same kind of, you know, player board in the middle and you're scoring points with your meeples. So it'd have to be something similar. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to go back and look to see like, when did Carcassonne come out in comparison to this?
It would pretty drastically reduce the game doing a shared board, but it would up the interaction. I think that's probably the biggest missing piece, but I mean, probably not the least interaction I've done, but you know, definitely not an interactive game, I would say.
Yeah.
All right. Would you play it again, BP?
Yeah, I think I would. I love architecture. I really, really do. And apparently I love gardens, even though I cannot keep a plant alive personally. I would.
Yeah, but you're paying other people to keep these up.
Sure. Yeah. I will actually pay other people to make greenery look good in this game and real life.
And just so. Like real life, you just take the money from the thin air to pay them.
right. And I can just like pick up whatever amount I feel like I want. I want like 9 denarii. Sure.
Yeah. How great would that be if that's really how it works?
So I would definitely play it again.
Yeah, I would play it again.
Would you play it with me?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it was easy to learn. I think it would be a very easy thing to teach. I can definitely see why it was a Spiel winner, because the Spiel is supposed to be games that a family can open up on Christmas and immediately start to play it. Mm-hmm. And I think this game definitely fits into that category. So, I mean, not knowing the other two games in comparison, kind of like we did with the games for the one where Magic Maze was in. I forget what year that was, but like we played the other two games in that year. So like
King Domino.
Yeah, King Domino. And I think the other one was Quest for El Dorado. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, hits or misses, but you at least had that comparison. But I can definitely see why this won Spiel des Jahres. And I would play it again. It was fun.
I think I'm going to go with no. I shocking. I mean, we kind of explained why though. Like I enjoyed it. Like it was okay. But like, I feel like it's been replaced by other games. Like,
sure.
You know, for tile placement games, there's a lot out there. I like Castles Making Ludwig. I think I'd play that over this every time. You know, the drafting wasn't particularly anything super exciting. The art doesn't jump out at me. It's like, there's a situation. Sure. If it were out, I think there's other games I'd rather play. And I felt like it kind of went on long for the experience, like, cause it kind of gets repetitive. I thought, but I mean, it's not bad or anything. I just feel like obviously came out in 2003 and I feel like there's just kind of been iterated and there's just better sort of takes on the game that I would play over this pretty much in every situation. So
I mean, that's almost 20 years ago.
I know. It's crazy. And I can't imagine there's too many games from then that that haven't sort of been improved upon over the years. So,
I was thinking when we were talking about it, like, who is going to do a new edition of it?
So I think there's actually been, I think in 2011, they put out like a family edition and kind of changed up some of the pieces to make it more family friendly. And then lower the production cost as well to be able to sell more of them. Cause the Dice Tower just did their best games from 10 years ago. And Mandy was on, and her one of her her cheater ones was she said Alhambra, the family version, even though Alhambra came out in 2003.
All right. So that is Alhambra.
So if you have any recommendations you'd like to hear our impressions on, just send them our way. Email is firstturntabletop@gmail.com or Twitter, Instagram. We can be at First Turncast, and we've got a podcasting camel, and he's sneaking around BP's gardens and trying to like get into those mezzanines and pavilions.
He sounds homeless.
He is blocked. I know, but he's and he is blocked out of the chambers. He is like, they're like, no camels in here. But he says, please don't forget to rate, review, subscribe on all your favorite podcatchers, and we look forward to hearing from you. Play more games.
So far, the Longhambra strategy is paying off.
Longhambra?
Longhambra. All right.
Well, I have a monopoly on right-facing walls. I can tell you that much. We are heavily undefended on our left.
I mean, really, I don't have an inhabitable palace. No,
you have a park that you live in.